Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Everybody, hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday. Hope you're off to a great start on your week as well. Let me ask you guys this.
Hold on, Travis. First, you got to respect the song that's being played right now, brother.
Why?
Because it was on this day. It was on this day in 1990 that this song hit number one.
Oh.
Yes. Don't just owe me. This is one of the greatest pop songs of all time, damn it.
Who made it number one?
I don't have to say her name. We know
no,
the name.
No, who made it number one? Who like listened to it all the time? Like, who was she like a hero for?
I mean, at this point, she was at her peak, so everybody's listening to her. 1990.
This is 1990?
1990. It's 30 years ago, man.
Goodness. This song was so popular.
This song was so popular that they used to hold classes trying to teach suburban housewives how to vogue.
Great.
Yes, you had Susan at the YMCA with a bunch of other housewives trying to learn how to vogue 30 years ago, Travis.
Well, in 1990, she was a freshman in college, so I don't know if she was in line at the Y to get vogueing lessons, but I understand your point globally.
She was doing prep work because she knew what her future was going to be. Just trying to get it right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you guys ever, I haven't done it in a long time, but we used to like get together with your friends and play poker at somebody's house. Is that something you guys still do occasionally?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, don't do it with Cody Latimer. We'll get it. We'll circle back to that in just one second. But as promised, right now, the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils, former NFL head coach as well, friend of the show, Herm Edwards, joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, man. How are we doing?
What's happening, Herm?
Everything good, Key?
Yeah, everything good. We hunkered down. Just every now and then we get out and get some fresh air. But for the most part, we, you know, social distancing and shelter in place.
Yeah, it's become the norm right now. So we got to continue to do it so we can stay safe.
So what are we doing with college football in the Pac-12? Are we going to have a Pac-12 season? Are players going to enter the supplemental draft? What's going on, man?
Well, I think all systems are go right now, trying to figure out the best way to slowly enter to in the buildings for some of these guys so we can start our journey to try and have a season. It starts with the off season, as you know, Key. So I just think there's a lot of safety measures that have been implemented for all those that are involved in college football, especially the Pac-12. And right now, looking next month might be time for some guys to come in and start working out. And I think every state has a little something to say about that as well. But that's the mindset right now.
When you talk about the college game, obviously, you know, it carries over into the NFL game. And the big thing right now is the minority hirings. We don't have a whole lot of African Americans or minorities, for that matter, in college sports. But the Rooney Rule is one that they continue to keep trying to alter to get right. And you had the opportunity to be a head coach of the New York Jets, but you learned under several coaches, and one in particular in Tony Dungy, who was an advocate for you to become a head coach when you was with the Bucks to go to the Jets. What's going on with the Rooney Rule, and does there need to be massive changes, not just with the Rooney Rule, but overall – both in college and in professional sports and the way we hire?
Yeah, Key, you make a great point. And you know, the mentorship of coaching starts at the college level, in my opinion. And even before the Rooney Rule was set, came in 2003, I believe it was, when you think about the Rooney Rule, it really tried to make owners slow down in the interview process so that candidates were interviewed in a proper manner. But before that, the Bill Walsh Fellowship was one that got a lot of us when we were in college. This started in 1988, actually, Tony was involved in that, Lovey, Mike Tomlin, Coach Lynn, myself, Marvin Lewis, what it allowed you, and now you can't do it as much as a college coach in the summer could actually go to camp to pro football and stay two weeks and really get exposed to the NFL. And that was a part of the process. That's how I got involved in, to be quite honest. I was coaching at San Jose State and did this Bill Walsh fellowship in Kansas City. And lo and behold, 2 years later, I came under the, you know, under their guidance, and they created a job. I became a scout, and I worked my way up the ladder from scouting to becoming an assistant coach, a secondary coach, and then going with Tony to be an assistant head coach, and then going on and to be a head coach. So I think there's certain steps. But also this, Key, when you look at the landscape of coaching right now, even at the college level, we do a pretty good job here in the Pac-12. We have some head coaches, the men of color, to be quite honest. Here's the problem right now. Most of these hires, when you look at the NFL hiring, and even college, it has a lot to do with the offense, right? The quarterback. Who's the quarterback coach? Well, not many men of color coach those positions. So now all of a sudden, if you're a coach in the NFL or an owner or a GM, you're looking for somebody to what? To teach your quarterback, to put in an offense. Well, if you're not exposed to that as a coach, it's very difficult for you to get hired.
But Herm, you have been and is a successful head coach, and you didn't run a quarterback unit, and you didn't run defense. You ran a secondary, but you're a hell of a head coach.
You're right, and it's kind of funny because that era, think about this era now, Keith. Tony gets hired, right? He gets hired. He's a defensive guy. I work on Tony's staff along with Lovey. Mike Tomlin took my spot, all defensive guys. Rod Marinelli, defensive guy. Marvin Lewis, defensive guy. Ron Rivera, defensive guy. That was kind of the norm then. Now it's really flipped. This script is kind of flipped a little bit. When you think about it, it's all offensive guys. Look at the guys that got hired, except for Ron. Ron's a repeat, okay? But look at the rest of these coaches that got hired. They all come off somebody's tree that has to do with offense, correct?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the momentum where it's at right now.
Herm Edwards joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Herm, what did you make of the proposal that was floated that would incentivize teams through additional draft picks? What did you make of that program?
Well, I see what they're trying to do, but really when they first presented it, and maybe I can let it sink in, what does that sound like? We're going to give you an incentive to hire a black coach? And you can get a draft pick? You can move up in the draft in the third round? Does that even sound right?
Nope.
It just doesn't sound right. It's like, okay, it's kind of like the guy, you know, hey, I got a black friend. Really? Come on, man. This is the NFL. This is the standard bearer. This is the league that everyone wants to emulate. We've done a pretty good job of actually think about the playing field now. Look, guys, when I came in the league, in 1977, there was 28 teams. Listen to this one. There was only 8 black coaches in the whole league. 8. And this is not 1957. This is 1977. There was only 8. So now, we've done a good job. The playing field was a lot different. There were certain positions you weren't going to play in the NFL, and you knew it. That has changed. The landscape has changed. The National Football League, 75%. Are men of color that play in that league. There's positions that when I came in the league, they switched your position. We won't even get into what position is. We know what it is. That has changed. So we've done a nice job of changing the landscape as far as the players and being competitive, because we do say sports is an even playing field. It's a level playing field. Well, in the hiring process, all I'm saying is this. Look, hire the right guy, but go do your due diligence and interview guys. Interview guys. No one wants it. We don't want, you know, no minority player wants anything or coach wants anything. They want an opportunity. Don't give them something. They want to earn it. this is one of those deals. Okay, hey, you get to hire Black. You hire Black coaching the GM, you can move up, what, 16 spots in the third round. How do you think that's going to play on draft day? When all the guys are sitting around, oh, yeah, they moved up 16 spots. You know why? You know that's going to be the conversation, guys. Right?
I agree with you 100%. You know, when I look at this conversation, Herm, you know, for me, it's always about the tree. And I'm not saying you need to have a room full of minorities in order to get minorities hired. But it certainly doesn't hurt that when you talk about the top echelon decision makers, that you are at that table as well. And I think what we're seeing is a trickling down effect. They're not at that table. They're not at the top front office executives. They represent about 10%. So 90% of the top executives in the NFL are white. So you're already, in my opinion, fighting an uphill battle. So by the time you get to hiring, you know, GMs and coaches of that nature, to me, their voices are already been dissipated because at the very top, their voices aren't being heard.
And that's a great point. And then look, that's no one. We're not faulting them because a lot of this hiring has to do with what? People you know.
Right.
People you're comfortable with. Well, if you're not in those circles and you can bring other people into the circles, then you're not connected. And when you're not connected and you're trying to hire a coach, and you guys know how this works, once a coaching job comes available, there's a scramble for certain guys. And the problem with the hiring process is this. First of all, the guy you want to hire, you say, I want to hire this guy, but I got to interview three other guys. Problem is, four other teams want to interview this guy. I need to hire this guy now because he has guys that he wants to get on the staff. So all that becomes a process of this too.
Herm Edwards joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Herm, let go back to the college game for a second and you getting ready for your season at Arizona State. Do you think that the Pac-12 is going to do what the SEC does, what the Big Ten does? Does the Big 12, is everyone going to act in concert with one another? Or could we see a situation where your conference does something different than, say, the SEC or the Big Ten?
Well, I think we would like to do that. I mean, that's been the conversation. Now, I think as far as opening up the facilities, I think some coaches already feel that you might be in a little bit of a disadvantage because of the state that you're in, right? So with that being said, that could be a little bit disadvantaged for some teams. But I think as far as how we go about when the coaches get involved with the players, we want to all be on unison with that as far as our conference. I know that. In other words, when these players come in, when they start working out, it's going to be in little groups. I mean, that's been the mindset right now. So let's say you might get to open 2 weeks before somebody else because your state is opened up. But as far as the coaching part of it, when you can meet with them and do those things, we want to be on the same page together when that takes place.
Do you feel like you guys are going to have a season, Herm?
I do, Key. I think all the indications say that we're hopeful that this is going to transpire. I think the worrisome thing about this is you know, this is not a social distancing sport. And how do you do that? I mean, how do you, you know, all of a sudden the way you meet, I mean, you can't meet with your whole football team in one room. I mean, all those things now have to be worked out. And I think, look, we're going to work on that. There's plans to do all this. How does that look? And then I think the big thing is, Key, and you guys know, if it should happen and some player obviously gets the virus, then what happens, right? I mean, then what are the steps? Is it just the player? Is he gone? Or is it you shut the team down? I mean, all these things. I mean, you know, I mean, hey, let me ask you. I mean, what if the trainer, the head trainer gets it, and the assistant trainer gets it? I mean, what if the weight coach gets it, and the assistant weight coach gets it? All these things still have to be worked out. There's a lot of questions still on what to do. And I think, you know, as we walk through this, we'll come up with answers. But there's just a lot of things going on, Key, and you guys know this. I mean, what if a parent says, I don't think it's safe for my son to play right yet? I mean, these are student-athletes. They're not professionals. I mean, what if some parent says that? Mm-hmm. Yes, parent has the right to say that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look, we're going. The one thing we do know, we're going to try to make this thing as safe as possible. There's no doubt about that. Safety is the number one. It's the number one concern for every college football coach, every president, every AD. That thing has been the talk. But as this thing gets going, I just think it's going to be interesting how we try to orchestrate this.
Herm, in 30 seconds, and I know I'm putting you under the gun right here, but it's Memorial Day weekend's coming up. There's going to be barbecuing. You got. I know you don't eat the pig or anything like that.
No.
But to set the tone, what's the one song you need to hear during your cookout on Memorial Day weekend so that you know things going to be right?
Probably one song, huh? Oh, boy.
As soon as, you hear it, you start moving, like going, yeah, we about to get down tonight.
probably Earth, Wind, and Fire.
There you go.
There you go. What,
give
Fantasy or something
fire,
like that?
Man, I'm good. Give me some Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I'm good.
Okay.
Perfect. Perfect. Herm Edwards, head coach.
You can't screw that up. You can't screw Earth, Wind, and Fire up, man.
The head coach of the ASU Sun Devils, Herm Edwards, joining us here on The Morning Show. Herm, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you guys. Guys, stay safe. Love all you.
Right.
Talk
all
to
right,
you later.
All right,
babe.
All right. Scottie Pippen is wounded and disappointed. Does he have a point? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So, LZ, why did Herm add Earth, Wind, and Fire right here, and you left him out of your top 10? That doesn't seem right.
Well, they were in my top 10 at one point. And then I looked over the list, and I was like, you know what? I need to get some more women up in my list. Otherwise, it's not going to have the right vibe. So you got to have the right mixture of voices. You need to make sure that you hit.
You could have taken
spots.
Out the country.
I was going to say you couldn't bump Island Is in the Stream for this.
Or Maluma.
No, listen. I realize that we have more than just an urban audience. So I need to make sure that when I got the cookout going, everybody can feel like they got some kind of space. Right? I could have put 10 country songs on there and I would have been straight. Would have had some pontoon on there. Could have had some Penny Chesney on there. I've been in different cookouts. I just wanted to make sure. And plus, y'all sleeping on Island in the Stream. When Proz is sampling the song and y'all singing the song.
No, we're not sleeping on it, but the Kenny Rogers, you could have kept the Kenny Rogers. No, that's real talk, though. I'm like, LZ, come on, man. You know better than this.
Give us more scratching.
But here you go. I gave you some time. Just calm down.
Like Herb said, you can't mess up Earth, Wind, and Fire. So they should have been on the list. All right. I don't know if this was playing at Cody Latimer's poker game or not, but apparently whatever was playing didn't settle anybody down. Washington Redskins wide receiver Cody Latimer appeared in court on Monday in Colorado on multiple felony charges stemming from an incident early Saturday morning in which he is accused of threatening a friend with a gun and discharging his weapon after an argument at a poker game.
Man,
that's a hell
dudes,
of a poker
these
game.
These dudes in social distancing and COVID-19 – they don't understand. Quarantine ain't got nothing to do with pistols. Every day, though. Every
what
day,
was your
right?
advice, Key? What was your advice yesterday?
Which one? I don't remember what I say.
Something about you can quarantine without carrying the gun.
Oh, yeah, you can quarantine without having a pistol. I mean, like, come on, man. Robberies at home, burglaries at home are down.
Look, I mean, this is not the OK Corral. This is not Wyatt Earp and his buddies hanging out and playing cards. Why? I mean, if you're playing with your friends, why do you need your pistol?
I have no, man. Other dude, what's my man, Baker from the Giants? He go to jail with pistols and robberies. I'm like, man, come on, man. It's quarantine. What y'all doing?
Hey, Travis, it could have been worse. They could have invited another wide receiver. Marvin Harrison.
Oh, I thought you were going in a different direction. I thought you were going Ray Caruth, but that's just me.
Oh my God! Well, he didn't really. Let me stop. I'm not going.
Yeah, y'all, come on, man. Y'all crazy. Now y'all.
I got limits.
Yeah, let me just stop. I would say this: no industry, no community, no race, no nothing has the corner market on stupid. So no. I would say there's been a lot of stupid things happening from a lot of different people, from a lot of different varieties. this in particular is stupid, but trust, there is plenty of stupid to go around.
Yeah, but it just seemed like the offseason is becoming too much for football. I'm just being honest with you. You know, it's like, come on, man. Like, pistols and gambling, and it's like the same thing I said down in Florida, what happened to Baker. He in a gambling situation, and, you know, and all of a sudden there's guns involved. Now you got this situation, there's guns involved, gambling, off-season. Like, just stay at home and chill.
Again, just go to Google, type in Michigan protest, and you'll see all the guns you want.
I understand. I get that, LZ, but we're not talking about a political fight here. We're talking about playing cards. And acting
I just
out.
Talked about being stupid. You know? It's all just stupid.
Yeah. If we ever have a poker game amongst us, let's all agree that we leave the pistols at the door, so we don't bring them into the game.
I don't think you have to worry about that with us.
Where's the game going to be at, just in case? I'm just going to surrender my rights just right out the gate.
Yeah, here we go again. All right, Scottie Pippen is upset about The Last Dance. According to Jack McMullen's piece, Pippen has been notably silent since the documentary began its run last month, and those close to him say he's wounded and disappointed by his portrayal. So you have a point, because I'll be honest. I know it was a kind of a rocky start for Scottie Pippen when Michael said that he was being selfish, and we talked about the migraine game, and of course him sitting down when Tony Kukoc took that last shot. But over the course of 10 hours of television, I thought Scottie Pippen came out of this thing looking pretty darn good.
Yeah, but it goes back to the beginning of the whole show, right? Episode 1 and 2. First thing, episode 1 and 2 is like, dang, Mike didn't even look after the dude. That was our conversation, is Mike didn't do this, Mike didn't do that. And I think that carries on into where we are in episode 9 and 10. As you see the beginning episodes, you certainly have now formed your opinion and shaped your mind about the way you view Scottie Pippen. Scottie even did it himself. That's why he feels, even though he probably watched the other 8 episodes, he feels a certain way because 1 and 2 was projected.
You want to pull it?
Yeah, it's... He doesn't look good, all right? But at the end of the day, you know, Michael's the star, and there are significant chunks where he doesn't look good. You know, there's a moment there where B.J. Armstrong doesn't look good, so he should have known better than chirping. Clyde Drexler didn't look good because he was getting beat up so bad during, you know, Dream Team practices, they had to tell him to tell Michael to stop. So I think the good thing about this documentary is that while they did eliminate some things and lionize Michael Jordan, they also showed some faults, and they show the lionization of some of these guys and also some of their faults, and I thought that was pretty good. It's not just about Scottie.
Is the relationship between those guys not a good relationship? Because, you know, we don't hear much from Michael until this documentary. You know, we saw Michael at Kobe's memorial, obviously, but you don't hear from Michael Jordan all that often. You do hear from Scottie Pippen a lot. Scottie Pippen is on ESPN. Scottie Pippen is available. Did we make the mistake of assuming that these guys had a relationship that wasn't there? Is that why Scottie's upset that relationship got exposed?
I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know. You know, it's really funny because if you at least follow some of the comments, Travis and Key, on social media, you know, coming out the gate, and we talked about this for sure, you know, it was like Michael was a bad guy because he didn't ride or die for Scottie. And even though he called him selfish, that wasn't received well by a lot of the people. Remember, Scottie came in not necessarily looking good, but people had his back because we understood where he was coming from. It really wasn't until they did a deep dive into the migraine and the surgery with his ankle, where it's like, come on,
I'm
now, Scottie.
Back.
Where'd like, you
come
go?
On now, Scottie.
Man, I got kids, man.
So do I.
Yeah, but your kids ain't going to pull out the Comrex out the walls.
They disconnect you?
Yeah. Yeah. You got
was, that,
kids,
was that Vance screaming?
Yeah. Yeah, Vance screaming.
How'd you straighten him out?
Pull the car. I didn't say nothing to him. Jen handled it. He just...
you don't have a look?
I don't need this. A silence. I don't have to stare him down. If I stare him down, that's going to kill him. Silence. So I just let her handle it and deal with it. He, you know, moving around and yanked it all out of the you know, I got all these wires everywhere. So
Yeah, you do.
In fact, I'm not going to blame Vance. He might have just been walking and tripped over your lawnmower utility wire that you had going through on your plug. Well,
that's sort of what happened, you know. And so I had to go and plug me back in, but I'm back now.
We were talking about Key about Scotty and him having his nose out of joint a little bit, that he's wounded and disappointed. And I don't know. This feels like more to me than just the Last Dance, that maybe this is something that he's been carrying around for a long time, that he didn't feel he got the respect or the support that he felt he was entitled to at the beginning. And now the whole world knows.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him, you know, to approach it the way that he's approaching it. Me personally, I probably wouldn't even pay it no attention if I was him. You know what you did. You know what you meant to the team. You know the way your players and teammates reacted towards you and how they had affection for you. But everybody handles situations a lot different. I thought he came off the first couple episodes. I was like, damn, he quit on the team. I basically took that position. And then at the same time, by the time I got to 9 and 10, I realized that here's a guy out there with a bad back who's giving it 100% going 50 miles an hour. So it certainly was a good thing. So if I was him, I wouldn't even trip. I wouldn't trip at all if I was him. But, you know, everybody view their own thing, their own situations differently.
You got to trip a little bit. The dude is calling you selfish.
Yeah, but that was at the beginning, though.
But it's still there.
But I understand that. But by the time I got to 8 and 9, 9 and 10, that was erased based on everything else. But maybe Scotty ain't processing it that way.
But that's like saying you stabbed me in the back, but you took the knife out and I stopped bleeding, so we're good.
The only guy that feels to me that, and I'm, you know, I'm not even making a joke here. He's not here to defend himself because he died. Jerry Krause is the only guy that universally comes out of this looking terrible. That there are some sides to all these different guys that maybe say, okay, that didn't look great. Sitting down for the Kukoc shot doesn't look great. Deciding to get your surgery done, at the end of the summer, it doesn't look great. But Scottie Pippen, in total, was the most important person on that team, not named Michael Jordan. You look at everybody else, they played their role to help create what it was. Jerry Krause did too, but he's the one that's looked at as the villain in all of this. Not Scottie Pippen, might have had his feelings hurt early, but dude, turn the page, right?
That's what I would say. I would think that you would turn the page, but LZ, like LZ said, I guess it's tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, you've been running with this guy and the championships, and he gets to like talk about this period in time for, you know, 5 consecutive Sundays for hours at a time, and every time you know every other episode, there's a dart. Now some of these darts are, you know, self-inflicted. You threw the dart and you got hit by the dart. Nonetheless, when you sit there and you string it all together, yeah, there are good times, but you remember the stinging times most because that's the one that kind of jolted you.
All right, we've got a green light in California, in Texas, and in New York, which means pro sports may be coming sooner than later. How do you catch up if you're behind, specifically in Major League Baseball? 3 months with no baseball, how do you fix it? That's the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Not going to lie, LZ, your list has got me excited for a little Memorial Day weekend, little backyard barbecue, cookout, whatever you want to call it. Oh, just hanging out, right. Eating, and having a few drinks. That sounds pretty nice.
It's going to be right. I just need Mama to make the mac and cheese. I got everything else, but I just need her to go ahead and knock that macaroni and cheese out early in the day.
It can't be all crusty and hard either, though.
Well, that's why she got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, she bats 1,000 with the mac and cheese, so okay, I got to get her
making,
in
I'm
and do it early.
I'm just making sure.
Oh, yeah. It's not that vegan cheese either.
No, real cheese.
My macaroni and cheese is real. They eat vegan. Let me get this straight, man. They eat vegan stuff. I eat normal, and I eat vegan. I eat them both. So with all them vegan jokes, you need to go on. You need to try to eat some vegan stuff, though.
Man, I eat vegan stuff all the time. I'm literally around. I am literally wearing a Beyond Meat t-shirt right now. I eat plant-based stuff all the time.
I'm not
doing it because you ain't eating vegan stuff. Yeah, you trying to do a deal. I know what you're doing.
What are we drinking at this party? What are we, Key? You've always got the right idea for the drinks. What's on the bar at this event?
Oh, they got a full bar right now. It's a full bar.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, it's a full bar with this plan. Oh, yeah, it's a full bar. Because it's still, this is, you in the beginning stages of it. You just now arriving. You know, it's a few people out by the pool. A couple people kind of not sure if they should go over to and get one of the dogs that's burning on the grill. Kind of waiting for the next person to do it first before they do it. You know that move. I'm gonna wait.
Hey, somebody's got to go first. You don't want to be the first guy. You want to be the second guy.
I ain't got no problem going first. If I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Ain't that right? Ain't that right, Raj?
That's right. That's right. That's how you do it.
Because it's a snake draft.
not in eating. No, I'm getting back in line first. All right. So yesterday, New York, Texas, and California, the governors of all three states said that they expect to be open for business and pro sports sometime around the beginning of June, which is only a couple of weeks away. So it could happen pretty quickly. We talked about the NBA. We talked about Key, how you were talking about with the supplemental draft in the NFL, that maybe that's a wrinkle that gets thrown in there and that maybe fewer rookies get used because they don't have the time to get right and be in the meetings and not just listen on Zoom, but be out on the field. I think baseball is one of the more intriguing ones because there's a reason that they have a spring training that lasts the better part of 6 weeks, that they play all these games. And even with all those games, when the season opens, the play is usually pretty uneven. And you got 162 games to kind of figure it out over the course of 6 months. This is going to be different because we're going to have an abbreviated spring training of some sort. We're going to have a couple of weeks, maybe a little bit more. But now all of a sudden, instead of a 100-game season or 162-game season, we're talking about the proposal that was last floated is about a half a season, about 80 games, give or take. If you get off to a bad start in this situation, that's it. You can't recover from it. There's not enough time.
Well, at the end of the day, if I was approaching it, I would approach it to obviously make it to the World Series and do all of those sort of things with an abbreviated season. But at the same time, if things didn't work out the way we started to envision it at the beginning of the year, I don't know that I would be majorly disappointed. You know, I don't think that because of everything, that I wouldn't – like I would be like, you know – I get it. I understand. It was a tough situation that we tried to fight through and overcome, and we just didn't get there. That's kind of how I would process it.
But think about it like this. Let's use the Dodgers as the example. The Dodgers are loaded with talent. So this is an unlikely scenario, but baseball has weird things happen. Let's say Mookie Betts comes out and gets off to a bad start. Again, unlikely, but not impossible. And he just can't kind of find his groove. It doesn't really work out the way that we'd all hoped it had worked out here. The Dodgers collectively as a team could probably survive that because they got so many different guys. But Mookie, maybe this is not the right fit for me. I got to move on to the next place. There's just so many different things that get put into the realm of possibility because of the short sample in baseball that over 160 games, things always tend to work out for what you expect them to be. But over 80, it could be totally different.
Yeah, but you would think and you would hope if you're the Dodgers that Mookie Betts understands how everything is unfolding, what's taking place, why it's unfolding the way that it is. That's what you would have to hope if you're the Dodgers.
It's a nervous thing, you know. It's anytime things aren't the way you're planned, you got to ask yourself, does my plan B work? But no one's prepared for this kind of plan B. No one saw this plan B coming. And so basically, whatever plan A was for how you envision a season unfolding is scrapped and everyone's starting from the same place. The good thing for us is that we've been together. So even though Mookie is a new factor into the equation, for the most part, we're the same squad that's been rolling for the last 3 to 4 seasons. For the most part.
You wonder, though, if you're Dave Roberts, right? If you're Dave Roberts and you are the guy in charge of making these decisions, and to your point, LZ, these guys have been together a long time. Dave Roberts has seen Cody Bellinger and Justin Turner and Max Muncy, these guys, for the last several seasons, and he knows what they are. But does your decision-making have to get sped up? Because I don't have the time. Let's just play this out. Let's say Max Muncy gets off to a rough start. And you're looking at it saying, okay, I know that if we had 6 months, he's my guy, it's going to work out. But we've been playing a month. It hasn't happened. It doesn't look like it's about to happen anytime soon. Do I need to start juggling lineups? Do I have to take at-bats away from him? Do I have to give it to somebody else? Your decision-making gets sped up if you're the manager because you just don't have the runway.
And it does get sped up if you're the manager. But at the same time, you certainly have to approach it with the mindset of knowing that, hey, this thing may go any type of way based on how we've been disrupted in this situation. So you really shouldn't take it to heart at the level that you would.
Look, here's what I would bet on right now. Right now, before we've seen one pitch thrown in a Major League Baseball game, is that somebody weird is going to get deep into the playoffs in Major League Baseball. That somebody that is not the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Astros or one of these teams that we know is going to be a pretty good team. Somebody that is totally out of left field is going to be one of the last two or three teams standing. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing that makes me nervous, right? As I said, your plan A is in place. You also have a plan B, but plan B is still based upon circumstances that you're familiar with, an injury, a guy not playing as well as you had hoped, et cetera. There was no plan B for this. So everything is wild and crazy, and if you get off to a slow start, to your point, Travis, to start this segment, that could be severely detrimental to what ultimately should have been a much easier route.
All right, Key, your nephew Michael Thomas had some thoughts on social media about who had a tougher matchup. He was going off. We'll get your thoughts on him next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, I guess this is a better deal than the poker game that ended up with gunplay. But there was some back and forth on social media, Key, including your nephew, Michael Thomas. The NFL on Fox's Instagram account put up the following question, and it was, which is tougher, A, make a catch while guarded by Stephon Gilmore, or B, break up a pass while guarding Michael Thomas? Now, Devontae Parker, who is a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, just answered A. He just said A. In other words, the make a catch while guarded by Stephon Gilmore. And then your nephew said, yeah, for you, yes. Go run some numbers up, then you can talk. I lapped you, and you've been in the league longer than me, first rounder. Then they started going back and forth. Got some hard feelings there, brother. Let me get targeted 300 times a game. That's from Parker. And then other than back and forth and back and forth. Is this just the way that new guys trash talk in 2020? They're going to do it on Instagram?
Yeah, I think it is. But my nephew also, you know, as I keep telling him over and over, man, don't pay attention to nobody. You keep doing what you're doing. You just got $100 million. It speaks for itself. You know, you don't need to continue to engage when your game, who you are, speaks for itself. He's beneath you. He's beneath you. So if that triggered a response, it shouldn't have. You don't even pay attention to that. Like, come on, man, stop. Like, why am I even entertaining or even putting you in the same category with me? Your numbers speak for itself. He's Offensive Player of the Year. They speak for itself.
He's pretty good at it, Key. He also said, in other words,
but it's social media. That's the world that we live in.
They don't even put your name in the same sentence as me. Remember that. He went on to say, you still got nothing. Are you still not going to do nothing? It took you 6 years and 17 weeks to have a good game. GTFOH, blame your parents, not the quarterback.
Not the parents. Lord Jesus, not the parents.
See, he certainly grew up in my household.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he be gutting dudes, but I don't know, man. I guess maybe I'm old now that I don't want him doing that. I just don't. You know, but I never really got at somebody unless they got at me. When they got at me, then I got at them saying, A, not necessarily saying anything disrespectful, just saying the guy Gilmore's a defensive back. So, you know, it would be tough to get open on him. I mean, that's just, you know, he's a defensive back. That's all. Yeah. But Mikey, you know, Mikey takes it personal. With his, you know, he just takes it personal, and when he takes it personal, he gonna get you. You just need to know that he gonna get you. He gonna bite too. It's gonna hurt because he gonna go straight to the white meat.
He didn't even bite him though. He was his teeth were directed in another direction, and Mike came and got him.
That's what I'm saying. Mikey gonna get him, and I feel bad for him, but he gonna get eaten, chomped up quick. I mean, that's just.
His final, where they went back and forth a few more times, and then Mikey said, you can't even get a seat at the table. Maybe he just is going in on. I mean, if we're talking about
you think what he grew the up around
Instagram
me?
Matchup, that Michael Thomas is probably the worst draw in the world. He's going to get you.
Yeah, he grew up around me. So if I was you, I'd stay out of that.
You know what's funny to me, Keith, that one of the lines here, I'm trying to pull it up here to get, there it is. Then you can talk. I lapped you, and you've been in the league longer than me, first rounder. He's still carrying that around, isn't he, that he was not taken in the first round. That still bugs him.
Well, I think it does, you know, because he outperformed his contract. He got paid for it. He outperformed the guys that went in front of him. And I've always told him, you know, in our conversations when he was drafted, I was like, all those dudes that went in front of you are either going to be on other teams by the time you redo your deal, they're going to be out the league. And when you look at the majority of them, they are on other teams that went in front of him. Guys like Coleman and Dotson and all, where they at? They're not even relevant. You know, Treadwell's probably got 30 catches in his entire 4 or 5 year career in the NFL. So it's like you should take satisfaction at that, opposed to worrying about where you got drafted at. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about where you got drafted.
Isn't that the fuel, though? Isn't that what gets him going?
I was
going
to say, that's got to be part of the reason that helps motivate you, right?
No, it is part of the reason that helps motivate him, but I mean from a public standpoint, don't add fuel to that. Just leave it alone. We already know what it is. We know that the general managers out there was fools. We said it on draft day. We know that they were foolish. We know that Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints got it right when they got it right. The rest of them missed, and they'll never admit it. They'll laugh it off. Oh, well, you know, we needed other needs, even though he cooking them every chance he get. And that's how you look at it.
Does anybody care? I mean, I know that it's kind of fun for us to look at it back and forth. Do coaches care? Does anybody in the league care that these guys go at each other? Because it's just kind of fun to look at. It's fun to watch one of the best players in the league go out of his way to tear up Devontae Parker. It's just it's amusing.
I don't think anybody really cares. But people, what happens, though, is guys like Devontae Parker or anybody else, for that matter, you got to know – you got to pick your poisons and know what you're doing. When you start – going at dudes like Mikey, he's going to get you. And a lot of it is jealousy. Guys are jealous that they're not having the success, or they didn't get paid a certain way, or he does get X amount of targets. But it's not his fault that he's with that particular team and that particular organization. Bottom line is you got to catch it. The reason they ain't throwing it to you 100 and sometimes 200, 300, whatever, because you ain't catching it. Like, you're not getting open like that. No, that's real. That's real talk.
No, I know. That's why it's funny.
You know, it's like you're not getting open. If you was getting open, they'd build an offense around you to throw it to you 35 times a game. But when you ain't getting open like that, they're not going to throw to you like that. That's just that argument's been there forever. Like, oh, man, they threw him the ball 500. Yeah, because he getting open. They going to throw the ball to Jerry Rice because he's getting open. They going to throw the ball to T.O. because he's getting open and he's doing something with it. When you get it, you fall down. So, therefore, they're not giving it to you.
Are you sure you weren't writing the tweets for him, Keith?
No, I'm just talking about it in general. Because
that you fall down should have been in there.
I'm just talking about
Mikey
in general. I'm just talking about in general, not necessarily Mikey. I'm just saying in general. That's what happens.
I think it's great for the game.
I do too.
I think it works in wrestling. It works in boxing. The occasion.
I don't have no problem with it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it helps us get excited. You know, I'm excited to see, you know, what Michael Thomas does
when you coming at him. Just know he's gonna come back at you. That's all I'm saying.
But he didn't come at him. He was minding his own business.
A is not coming at anybody. Just responding with a letter.
It really is. It is. Because you saying it subliminally. You kind of giving backhand. You know, you doing it on the slide trying to be slick with it. You know what I'm saying? You play the position at receiver. So the first thing you would say as a receiver. Like if you ask me a question about a receiver or a DB. Just ask me. Think of one real quick. Y'all smart.
Who had a tougher job, Deion Sanders covering Jerry Rice or Jerry Rice trying to get open from Deion Sanders?
I would say Deion Sanders had a tougher job covering Jerry Rice. That's what I would say. Or right off the top. Because I play the same position. Now, I was playing DB and you asked me that, the first thing I'm going to say is, man, Prime got that handled. I ain't even worried about that. I'm going to go to sleep on the left side and let him handle the right. That's what I'm going to say. But when I got shade, I'm going to try to figure out a way to dig. Does that make sense to you?
No.
It doesn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, well, I'm not being flip. I'm not following the logic here.
Because if I'm throwing shade at another receiver, then I'm going to pick the opposite position.
Oh, all right. I got you.
Out of jealousy.
Okay, so you're saying by saying that the DB matchup is just inherently disrespectful because he didn't pick the wide receiver.
Absolutely. I play the same position as you. That's like me being on radio with you and telling you that people over at 570 is better than you.
Where?
I think it's 570, right?
Oh, I know. They still do sports. Oh, I don't know.
Man, I don't know the name, but I listen to one station when I listen to sports, and that's 710 LA. Other than that, I don't listen to nothing else. So if I got the numbers wrong, I'm sorry.
I know that you came through a key. When you were in the league, there was no social media, that format didn't exist. But you would have gone back on social media, or you wait to say something to him in person when you see that guy on the field for the first time?
No, I ain't gonna clap back on social media. I'll put it this way. I probably wouldn't have clapped back on social media. I probably would have told LZ, would have called me and said, man, what? And I probably would have told LZ something. I probably just said the same thing my nephew said. You're not even in the – I don't even pay that dude. Look, if you go back and you look at dudes that said something about me that played the receiver position and how I clapped back, I don't even respond to peasants. I don't pay attention to
not even on the field, not even privately between the two of you. I know you didn't do it publicly, but
no, I would privately. Do it. I would do it publicly, but it's something real quick. It's something to the writer. Like if they would come to me, for instance, and really I only had one or two haters that played my position in the league anyway. One of them was like T.O. and then somebody else. Other than that, it would be something slick. Like, man, I read books for a living. I would say something like that as to imply he ain't very smart. You see what I'm saying? That's how I would operate when somebody say something. Not my problem. I would put up a sign on my locker and say, not my problem. I don't even engage in that type of activity because he's beneath me anyway. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, that is not my problem. I like that the best. We need to get you back out there. We need to get you back out there so you can climb the number 17 rankings, and I need you to hear guys say, I don't know, I read books. That's the best part.
That lets you know you're stupid.
Yeah, that's say, man, I just try to read books from time to time, man. See what's in my locker? I used to do stuff like that, Travis. Stuff like point to my locker and say, see, my mom sent me them books. I'm going to try to read them. Keep my mind fresh.
All right. So the flu game that turned into the pizza game, the pizza guy now says, no. Hold on. You have it all wrong. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.